All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Canucks fans. Fire me up. I'm fired up today, Harm. I am fired up for today's episode of Canucks Conversation, which is brought to you, as always, by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that's designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. Harm, the title of today's episode, previewing game 6, and potentially game 7, because if there is a game 7, it will take place on Sunday. We will be back on Monday to recap whatever the hell happens between now and then.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how things unfold. Obviously, Nashville is going to come out with that same level of desperation that that they did sort of in the latter stages of the game. They're going to have some confidence playing in front of their hometown crowd, but the Canucks should also not feel intimidated going into Bridgestone Arena because they won both games in Nashville. So that's something for the Canucks to sort of keep in mind as well. I'm sure they won't feel too nervous, right? Because keep in mind, before the series started, if we would have had this talking point of the Canucks go up 3-1 in a series, they lose game 5, now they got to try and win a game 6 on the road, there would have been a lot of discussion around this core's inexperience in the playoffs. Is this going to be an intimidating challenge for them? But I don't get that vibe. I don't get that feeling because, again, they've maintained an even-keeled composure throughout the playoffs, at least from what I've observed. And that gives me confidence that whether it's game 6 or game 7, I think they'll get it done.
I like it. That's what you said yesterday. You're standing by it. You're sticking to your guns. I like it. Hey, we're only previewing game 6 today. We're not even going to talk about a game 7 because we're hoping the Canucks get it done. We get a nice little weekend Monday. We're hoping to have Bagged Milk back on the show. Not going to say why, but we're hoping to have Bagged Milk on the show on Monday. So we'll see. If you don't know Bagged Milk, go listen to some previous episodes because he's a character and he's fun to have on the show. Harm, most of the things I want to talk about are going to come in the Anyone Else segment, but this is a pregame edition of Canucks Conversation. So we're going to preview tonight's game. This segment is brought to you by our friends over at Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home Wendy's rewards is eat. Just download the Wendy's app, place your favorite order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, we obviously mean free food. And hey, while you're racking up rewards points and eating your way through the menu, you'll also find plenty of deals along the way to keep morale high. So what are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today and start earning on every order. Okay, Harm, looks like Archer Shelovs is getting the crease tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. I had a little bit of an inkling here that it was going to be Casey DeSmith. Archer Shelovs played very, very well, but I didn't know if he had done enough to really take that crease. Because let's not forget, I think people might be forgetting a little bit just how good Casey DeSmith was in game three. He was phenomenal in that game in Nashville that the Canucks ended up winning. I thought we'd see Casey DeSmith tonight, but you're not going to get any problems or huge disagreement or, oh, that's a bad decision. You're not going to get any of that from me when it comes to putting Archer Shelovs in the Vancouver goal crease tonight.
Yeah, no issues at all with that. Shelovs has been solid the last two games. And yeah, DeSmith was unbelievable. And I think it was game three, but game two, he was only so-so, right? So even with DeSmith, he's had one start where he was excellent and one start where he was only okay, right? So I think if you were to compare DeSmith and Shelovs' form through their starts in the series so far, they've played at a really similar level. And considering Shelovs has built some game-to-game momentum now and he's probably in more of a rhythm, you don't have to worry about DeSmith potentially coming in cold and what did missing some time with injury, what impact could that have for him suddenly dropping into a game where you're trying to close out a series? I like the call to go with Shelovs. I think he's stayed calm. His rebound control has been solid. The only thing that I think watching him through the end of this season and the playoffs, the only question mark or potential weakness, and maybe it's not really a weakness, and I'm curious to get your take on it, is it seems like sometimes he loses track of the puck from long distance shots when there's traffic in front. Look, those are difficult situations for a goalie to track the puck, but for Shelovs specifically, it seems like I can think of a couple examples from the regular season and, of course, the Carrier goal, for example, too. So just like a seeing eye shot through traffic. That's the only potential chink in the armor that I see with Shelovs.
Here's my take on that. I'm glad you brought it up, because here's my take on that is that we know the NHL game moves at a different speed than the AHL game, and Shelovs has spent most of the season in the AHL. But I go back to conversations I've had with goaltenders about how they look for pucks through traffic. So Shelovs is looking over traffic, but when you have these situations, a lot of times, I think we talked about this recently, Harm, but one thing I've talked to multiple goaltenders about is reading what other people are doing. And Saros, we had an example of this with UC Saros, where he said, I didn't know where the puck was, but I saw where Pia Suter was, so I moved and threw my leg out, and sure enough, the puck was there. You don't see the puck, you see what's happening around you. Something that NHLers, this is an underrated skill that just kind of comes with playing in the NHL, something that NHL players are really good at doing is kind of not giving away where the puck is, right? Like when the puck comes through, there's not a ton of movement. They're not opening up or anything like that. Like if they're out of the way of the puck, they're just putting a stick on it. They're not going to go out and jump out of the way and, you know, tell the goalie where it is. They're keeping that traffic in front. So I think as an NHL goaltender, you have to learn to read that traffic. And I wouldn't say it's a weakness of Shelovs. I think that's more of just a comfort thing. And okay, the more reps you get, the better you're going to be at it. I think the strengths in his game, like rebound control, for example, and just positioning in general, I think those are going to outweigh any negatives. And I do think not being used to the speed of the NHL game and finding pucks at the NHL level through traffic at the NHL level, I think that's sure, that's a con. I just think the pros in his game greatly outweigh that one little con.
Absolutely. And from the opposite end of the ice, I'm also really fascinated to see what version of UC Saros the Predators get in game six, because game five was by far his best performance of the series. He looked, I don't want to say he looked calm, because he was still swimming in his net. He was still scrambling all over, but he seemed to anticipate pretty sharply. For example, like there was one play, I think it was in the second period, where Connor Garland made this ridiculous sort of spin move behind the net, and he originally came from the left side and made a pass right in front of Lindholm on the opposite end, where Lindholm was on the right side. Lindholm got a one-timer off from a sharp angle, and Saros reacted very, very quickly. And that's where his feet, what I've noticed, are exceptionally quick, moving from one side of the crease to the other, of course, compensating for his size disadvantage. But of course, through the first four games of the series, he wasn't close to being himself, and he was pretty good for maybe one goal a game, where he'd probably want that type of goal back, even in game five, right? He played really well, but the Zadorov goal he would have wanted back. And yes, he sort of gave, when we spoke to him after the game, explained that he was cheating too much for the pass, and Zadorov then caught him on that blocker side. So I'm really curious to see what version of Saro shows up, because he has the potential to be elite and steal a game, but for most of the series outside of game five, he's looked pretty human.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, I said at the start of the series, you Saros is going to steal one of these games. I wouldn't call that stealing the game, but that was undoubtedly his best performance. But this is the other thing about UC Saros, Harmon. I know you know this. I'm more so saying this for the listeners that don't know it, maybe. He's a bit of a streaky goaltender at times. And if you, there's two ways to look at it. That's a blip on the radar, that great game that he had, and he's going to come back down to what we saw at the start of this series. Or UC Saros has figured it out, and he's about to get really hot. So I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to worry Canucks fans, but we've seen this from UC Saros in the past, where he has a good game after a string of bad games, and then he goes on a bit of a run with a bunch of good games in a row. So we will see. We will see what happens tonight. Quickly checking out the YouTube live chat. People are saying they're optimistic, but we have some people saying they made sure they trimmed their fingernails so that there's nothing left to bite tonight, because it is going to be there's nerves for Canucks fans, because you don't want to pull a Boston Bruins and blow a 3-1 series lead. You don't want to see it happen. And of course, if the Canucks lose tonight, there will be a game 7 on Sunday at Rogers Arena between these two teams. But hey, we're only focusing on game 6. Another positive sign from this morning's morning skate in Nashville, courtesy of our pal Dan Murphy, who took a video of Thatcher Demko on the ice. Now, Harm, in this video, Demko's movements are pretty good. Like, it wasn't just, okay, go for a skate. He's in full equipment. He's doing his movements, his warm-ups that he would be doing when you're trying to do the warm-up for the puck being cycled. And yeah, Grady, if you have the video, that'd be awesome. But if you don't, it's all good. I didn't tell you we were going to talk about it. But anyways, he's doing the movements of if the puck is being cycled around up high. So I look at that and say, okay, that's some stress on the knee. And we know it's a knee injury for Demko. And here's the video, YouTube live show. You know, that's some stress on the knee. The thing that it's not is sliding on the ice, banging into the post, doing all your post induration stuff. Really, the movements that have caused the past two knee injuries, right? Like, let's be honest here. Those are the movements that have cost him when it comes to these injuries, is dropping down, slamming into the post when you're doing your post integration. That's what's led to these injuries. And I don't want to say that specifically, but he has been in the butterfly, drop down, integrating to a post for both of these two most recent injuries. So, not doing that just yet. And Rick Tocchet spoke after practice, didn't have much of an update. He said he skated yesterday for a little bit. There's no real update. He has improved, but he's not doing really invasive drills. He's out there, which is a good thing. Is he progressing? Yes. To what degree? I don't know. Looked into this. Still just the same answer. It's believed that he's able to return late in the second round. Game 6-7 is probably more realistic. But hey, the Canucks got to get to the second round first, but nonetheless, a good sign that Thatcher Demko is back on the ice today.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum first step, right? If you are hopeful about that timeline of late in the second round, if you get there, then he needed to start ramping up pretty early. You're not going to go from stepping on the ice and doing some of these preliminary movements, and then boom, you're playing in game action in a playoff-style environment with tons of players crashing the net, all these shot attempts in a matter of, like, you're not going to make that escalation in just a few days, right? So you needed to get the process started as early as possible relative to, of course, when it's safe to do so. So definitely encouraging. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't necessarily expecting it to happen this early, right? I remember seeing him in Nashville in for games 3 and 4. And of course, when we saw him there, he was just observing practice from the outside in his team issued workout gear. So for him to sort of take that next step, it's encouraging, but it's also like a necessary first step. It's not a sign that, oh, he's ahead of schedule or anything along those lines.
Yeah, and I confirmed this today with a couple sources. This was not his first on-ice session. I know Tocchet said he skated yesterday, but he skated for at least 3 days. At least. I think he skated for potentially 4. I don't know if it's 4. I do know it's been 3. He's been skating for at least 3 days. So this wasn't his first on-ice session, which is a really, really good sign for Thatcher Demko. So yeah, that timeline would kind of tell you that as soon as they landed in Nashville, he was able to hit the ice on Wednesday. So yeah, a really good sign. A really good sign for Thatcher Demko. Anything else that you wanted to get to on tonight's game? Like, I think we're going to talk about it on anyone else. We talked about Elias Pettersson a lot yesterday, just looking up and down the lineup. Harmon, I don't want to say I've had nightmares over it, but I was like hanging out, just chilling last night. And the thing that I started to just keep remembering in my head was that the Canucks have 24 shots without Miller or Hughes on the ice. Like, you telling me that stat, I know I had the live reaction yesterday of being like, holy smokes, like, that's bad. But I've just thought about it a lot in the past 24 hours. That's a wild stat to even say out loud. 24 shots in the entire series without Hughes or Miller on the ice.
Exactly. And that's why one of the biggest keys that I'm looking for is ultimately for the Canucks to get enough offense. They're either going to need production from the Pettersson line, the Lindholm line, not holding my breath on the fourth line, but hey, stranger things have happened. Or if you're not getting production from those lines, then you need the power play to come through, right? It has to be one of the two. If you don't get secondary offense at 5-on-5 and you don't get the power play going, I'm sorry, but you're probably losing game 6. And yep, it should be a reasonable expectation at this point in the series to say, especially considering Nashville's middle 6 isn't daunting, to think that, okay, the Pettersson line should step up at this point, or the Lindholm, Garland, Joshua line should start to create some more offense. Or if both those lines go cold, then at least your man advantage can hopefully come through. And yet, I don't know how much confidence we have in those areas. We'll see. That's probably the biggest wild card that I'm looking for heading into game 6 from a Canucks perspective.
Okay. Lots of interaction in the YouTube live chat. Most of the things I want to talk about are coming in the anyone else segment. So I know it's early. I know it's early, but hey, shorter show today. I've got a lot on my mind that I want to get to. But before that, time for our Light the Lamp contest brought to you by our friends over at 4Winds Brewing. Harm, per my script, the last time the Canucks played on a Friday, oh, maybe I was wrong. No. Yeah, the last time we did the 4Winds Light the Lamp contest on a Friday was when they played Columbus on Saturday morning. That was the last time we did a Light the Lamp contest on a Friday.
That feels like forever ago, man.
I know, right? Like, I can't even remember that. Anyways, time now for a Light the Lamp contest. Vancouver's playing Nashville tonight. We want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the 4Winds Tap Room located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about 4Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at 4windsbrewing.ca. Also, want to get this in. The Canucks Army playoff shirt, these things are flying off the shelves, and for good reason. I saw Lisa Martin, very regular listener of the show, longtime listener of the show, tweeted at me and said that it's a very comfortable shirt. It's a high quality, like, you know, a high quality t-shirt, nothing like it. It fits great. Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Go pick yours up at nationgear.ca. I wanted to make sure that I got that in. And look at those multiple colors. Harmon, did you get yours yet?
Yeah, I got the dark green. I'm glad that they nailed the dark green color, because sometimes you'll see t-shirts with a shade of green, but it's too bright. And it needs to be like a darker forest green type, and they nailed it. So I'm definitely going to be using that as like a workout shirt at the gym.
Yeah. Also underneath the suit, you know, supporting underneath the suit at the press box.
I don't know about that, man.
No, that's just me and my towel in the press box. Okay. Let's get to.
What are you doing if they win the cup? Like game six at home ice or something?
Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, I wonder if I can do it live on air. Okay, so for those in the YouTube live show, you'll enjoy this. I was talking with Grady before the show. We were having fun. So there's a touch-up feature. Like, you can touch up your appearance on our live stream or whatever. It's like through StreamYard. So I'll turn it on. Okay. I'll turn it on. And it's like, whatever, right? It's like it does a little bit. It basically makes it look like I'm wearing makeup, but there's different levels. If I put it on the highest level, it takes all the facial hair that I have so far off my face. It views it as like dirt or something. And it's just like, oh yeah, we're going to touch that up. It takes it away. Look at this. Watch this. Watch this. Does it work? Did it work? Can you see?
It looks lighter for sure.
Yeah. Takes it all away. It's so funny. It just, anyways, I thought people on the YouTube show would like that I could do that live. It was just funny. But I was bringing up the fact that I got the playoff beard going, and I don't know, starting to grow on me a little bit, Harm. I know you can't tell, but it's starting
to grow. The mustache that I see a little bit of gray. There's progress, buddy, I guess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, let's get to anyone else. Brought to you by our friends over at the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the net. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are having a record 33 giveaways this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Seas are back at the net on Tuesday, May 7th for a full homestand that includes a superstar appearance for Marco Estrada on the 7th, a nooner at the Nat on the 10th, and a Family Fun Sunday on the 12th, where kids 12 and under can run the bases for tickets. Call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. Okay, I've got so much. I've got so much in anyone else, Harm. I'm so excited for anyone else. Also, RJ in the chat about the mustache says, just looks like some dirt. He's, you know what? Like, that's the thing. The the artificial intelligence or whatever goes behind the touch-up appearance feature on StreamYard also thinks that this is just dirt and it should just be cleaned off my face. And hey, tough to disagree. And someone in the chat said, don't shave. And right below that, Mike in the chat said, don't shave. Shave what? And that's a good point. There's not much there, but it's coming. It's coming. You can see it. You can see that it's coming.
How long has it been now? Is it almost 2 weeks?
2 weeks. This is 2 weeks. Yeah. But you know what And I told Grady I was doing this. I'm shaving my sideburns. These come in just all patchy. So I'm shaving these. I'm growing this. That's the thing. When people grow beards, I looked it up, or so I'm told. When people grow beards, they still trim and take care of the area. They don't just not shave for like,
oh, dude, a month. It's funny because, so first of all, I didn't know I could grow a beard until the pandemic hit. And my sister was like, you should just grow your facial hair out. And so I was like, okay. And I just let it go. And legitimately for 3 months, because we couldn't go to barbers or anything because, you know, they were closed. I couldn't touch it up. And especially because I'd never trimmed a beard before, because I hadn't trimmed a beard before, because the first time growing one, I literally looked like a caveman. And then by June 2020, it was like the first time barbershops were technically open again. And so I had to leave that to my barber to clean that up.
Okay, so that's the thing. You had that 3 month period where nobody could see you. I'm coming out here every day, day after day, on camera. Like, come on, man. You had the 3 month period. That's the thing. I envy you, because my brother had the exact same thing. My brother's facial hair looked awful, and now it looks good, but it took him that like 4 month period of not seeing anybody. I don't have that. Although in the off season we do less shows, so maybe I'll keep it going for the off season. I'll give it some more time.
But by the 2 week mark, I actually had like a kind of like a goatee. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. That for me was like day three. Like what you have right now. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was like day two, day three.
It's Jacoby in the YouTube live chat. Quads is mansplaining beard growth to a man with a gorgeous face full of hair. Yeah, let me tell you all about beard trimming and what it takes to grow a beard, Harm. Okay, let's get to some actual anyone else's. Actually, chat, get your stuff in, because I've got a few. This first one, courtesy of our friend Rob Williams. Pull this up, Grady. The buses. This quote from TransLink. The buses say, go team go. Harm, you did let out a heavy sigh. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Seen this already. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. TransLink is not putting go Canucks go on the team buses because they're saying it's not inclusive enough, and the word inclusive meaning including all the other teams in the lower mainland, like the Lions, the Whitecaps, because they've had go Lions go, they've had go Whitecaps go, but it says go team go. I'm sorry, but what are we doing here? The Whitecaps and the Lions aren't in the playoffs. One of them plays an interesting sport, the other one plays soccer. You cannot tell me that go Canucks go isn't the message to put on the buses right now. And they talked about how it's hard to program all the buses or something like that, but the Canucks are the only team in the playoffs. Like, even if you like soccer, not my cup of tea, but if you like soccer, the Canucks are the only team in the playoffs. Like, the Whitecaps aren't in the playoffs right now, right?
I have no idea.
Someone in the chat watches soccer. Yeah.
I don't follow MLS.
I know the Lions aren't. I go to Lions games. I know the Lions aren't. The Lions aren't even playing right now. Like, they're not even in the... So who is this go team go for? Like, who are you trying to include?
I saw this in person, and I immediately thought, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen. Like, I'd rather no sign on the buses. Go team go? Like, I'm sorry, but that was... Bad look, TransLink. Bad look.
Yeah, it's a bad look. And that's the thing is... I'm sorry, but if you put go team go on the buses and it lines up with literally right when the Canucks playoff run started, who is the team you're talking about? You're talking about the Canucks. Just put go Canucks go on the buses.
Well, also, even for awareness, right? Think about how many people there are in the city that maybe aren't Canucks fans, but when the team is in the playoffs, they become engaged. They want to go out. They want to watch the games on TV. And if it's go team go, they're not going to know it's the Canucks that are in the playoffs. They'll just be like, okay, they won't even think about it. Whereas if they see go Canucks go, they might wonder, oh, what's going on? Is are they doing well? Are they in the playoffs? I might Google search it, see it, and then actually watch the game on TV. Like, this is doing literally nothing to put Go Team Go.
Yeah. We're getting this question. This is a new listener for sure. Pull up the video, Grady. Pull up the video of me shooting that puck at Rogers Arena for the media skate. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name. So Jan asked if either of us have played hockey. The answer is absolutely yes. That's why I talk so much about goaltending. But I absolutely snipe it on the ice at Rogers Arena. I might have to pull up the clip. I was shooting with my wrong hand. I shoot right. I shot left-handed with an old Travis Dermott stick. And then also an old, who was the other guy? Anthony Beauvillier. I used his stick as well. I was just ripping it. I was absolutely ripping it. Yeah, no, Grady, you don't need to go find the clip. It might be hard to find. We'll find it one day. You stick around, person who asked that question, you stick around. We'll find that clip. We'll find it soon. Okay. This is great. Yeah, Ty David. There must be some Toronto guy working in TransLink IT. Well, the Leafs are in the playoffs. This is, you know, this is the other thing. And I'm not going to get into it. But this idea that, oh yeah, you can cheer for everyone. Not my thing. Just not my thing. And I know I say that as somebody who watches every MLB team that there is. And I understand that. I just, come on. Vancouver, the Canucks. That's the team. That's the team that you're supporting. Go team, go. Just come on. Figure it out. Anyways, this is an interesting one. And I'm going to try to find the answer to this before I set up this next thing. But Ty David's asking the last time the Canucks lost in Nashville. I want to try and go find the answer to that. But this is the other thing I wanted to bring up. This happened today. The Jack Adams Award finalists were announced. It's Andrew Brunette, Rick Bowness, and of course, Rick Tocchet. Harmon, in my mind, Rick Tocchet has to win this award. Like, he's already won it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's going to win it by a landslide, or he should. Brunette's done, credit to him, he's done a terrific job with the Nashville Predators. It looked like it was going to be a retooling year for them. Obviously, at last year's deadline, they had traded away Matthias Ekholm. They were, of course, trying to get younger. Credit to him, but he hasn't authored the type of turnaround that Tocchet has defensively. Like, legitimately, the Canucks have gone from being one of the worst defensive teams in the NHL to one of the best defensive teams in the NHL in one season without massive personnel changes. They've had some changes on the back end with their bottom six, bringing in guys like Bluger, Suter, etc. That's made an impact. But you haven't revolutionized this roster. So to have that type of turnaround in one season is I would have looked at that as impossible before the season started. So massive credit to him. And then Rick Bowness, it's kind of funny. Yeah, the Jets wildly exceeded expectations in the regular season, but it's funny to see him nominated for the Jack Adams after he just got massively outcoached in round one. Couldn't make any adjustments against Jared Bednar and the Avs, how they were picking them apart offensively. And there was the drama, if you want to call it, where Bonus was seemingly pointing at the player's execution and self-inflicted wounds. And then Mark Scheifele seemed to have a different message where he was like, they adjusted and we did it. And Bonus, if I had to guess, whether it's, I think he might have an option on his contract next year, but I think a lot of the Jets fan base has soured on him and wouldn't mind if he's not back next year. And I know the voting happens before the playoffs and everything, so it's, you know, it's not a dumb pick, but it is kind of funny given how the last couple of weeks went for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, ultimately, I think the reason that, aside from turning around one of the league's worst teams for Rick Tocchet, so much consistency from the Canucks. Like, the Predators and Jets had a lot of stretches this year where they just weren't that good. And the Canucks were very, very consistent. Obviously, they had their rough patches as well, but you can point to a whole bunch of other stuff that happened as well. So I think Rick Tocchet is kind of a shoe-in to win that award. And it's funny you brought up that the voting happens before, because I was also looking at the GM of the year. Odds on favorite, Patrick Alvin, but that is not voted on until after the second round of the playoffs. I didn't know that. So curious to see how that all gets impacted. He's the favorite for sure, turning the team around, but I don't know, not to put it out there, but first round exit, Petey still doesn't have a winger. Does that affect Patrick Alvin's GM of the Year odds? I'd say maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It probably would, especially if Nashville gets through. Yeah, I mean, exactly. If you're a team that's retooling, you're stockpiling on picks and prospects. Look at what Barry Trotz got in the Tanner Jeannot trade. Basically got an entire draft class from the Tampa Bay Lightning. To sell like that, build for the future, and still make round two of the playoffs, that's pretty impressive work from a general manager. So I wonder if that would change the perception. Of course, Alvin's done a terrific job, but I'm curious to see how that would change things. Who votes on that, by the way? GM of the year.
That is the broadcasters, I think. Oh, no, that's coach. Hang on. It's called the Jim Gregory Award, right? Yeah. Yeah, the NHL executives. a panel. Okay. Votes are conducted among the 31 team general managers and a panel of 5 NHL executives and 5 media members. Okay.
Interesting. So that's cool.
General managers are voting on it. You seen that episode of The Office where they have the Halloween contest and everybody votes for Oscar because they don't think he's going to win? But then he ends up winning because everybody wanted to take away votes from who should have won. Mike Greer is going to win the Jim Gregory Award because all the GMs are going to vote for him because they're like, well, I want to win the award. And there's no way Mike Greer's winning this damn thing. So I'll put him on my ballot. Mike Greer is your Jim Gregory Award winner. We'll see. Here's Rick talking today, talking about the Jack Adams. And hey, he was talking about it. And it's basically the answer you'd expect to hear from Rick Tocchet. No surprises here that this was how Tocchet answered this question when he was asked about being a nominee for the Jack Adams Award.
The focus is all on the game tonight, but for you as a Jack Adams finalist, what does that mean for you to have that honor?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's an organizational award for me. I mean, it's the GM, you know, the ownership, the assistant coaches. I mean, players, like, you know, you're a piece of the puzzle. It's just not, you know. I think it's an organizational type of trophy. You know, I got a huge support group. It helps me. That's the way I look at it. I'm just thinking about the game tonight, to be honest with you.
No surprises there. No surprises there. Credit to the Canucks there for that video that was on their Twitter account. So, yeah, no surprise there. Back to that question that was asked before this segment. I looked it up. February 23rd, 2023. It was a 5-4 loss in a shootout. That was the last time the Canucks lost a game in Nashville.
Interesting. It's been a while.
It's been a while, Harm, and we're hoping it's going to continue to be a while because we're hoping for a Canucks victory tonight. We're hoping to see that. Okay, was there anything else? Oh, yeah. Game 6. We got to talk about it. Game 6 between the Leafs and the Boston Bruins. Leafs win, Harm. Leafs win, and you pointed it out, and I absolutely loved it. If you're a hater like me, you got the best possible outcome, and I didn't even think about this outcome enough. Either Boston is going to become the first team in the history of the MLB, the NFL, and the NHL, or not the NFL. What's the other league? What am I thinking?
NBA.
NBA, that's it. The MLB, the NBA, and the NHL, they're going to be either become the first team to blow a 3-1 series lead in back-to-back years, or the Leafs are going to choke in the first round again. Those are the outcomes that we're looking at.
Specifically Game 7.
A Game 7, exactly. Yes. It's a great day. It's a great day to be a hater, Harm.
I love it. I'm not going to lie. Just because I picked Leafs in 7, I'm not going to lie. I lost hope after watching Game 1 and seeing them go down 3-1, especially without Matthews for 2 games. But I'm hopeful that they'll pull through, just so I'm right.
William Nylander, hell of a game for William Nylander. Hey, like he played really well. I really like William Nylander in this series. I love him saying, I don't know who he said it to, but saying this isn't junior anymore, bro, or whatever it was he said. I love that. I love to see that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the chat would want more. Would they want Brad Marchand and the Bruins to suffer back-to-back 3-1 series blown leads, or do they want to see the Leafs ousted in a Game 7 again? Like, what scenario do you want to see unfold more? I'm really curious. I wish we could have a poll question for this.
Well, I think we might. We don't have an official one, but I think we could take a poll in the YouTube live chat. I've got Grady on a couple different things behind the scenes right now, so I'm not going to ask him to do that. But folks, in the YouTube live chat, tell us what you'd like to see more. Because Harm, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I want to see more.
Say B for Boston in terms of, like, you want to see them lose, or T for Toronto if you want to see them lose.
I like it. I'm going to say Boston. I'd like to see the Leafs go on. That's just because here at the Nation Network, we have a site, Leafs Nation. We got a site there. But that's the other thing. If they lose this first round, that's got to be the end of, like, the core four, right? Like, there's going to be major changes in Toronto. So I can still be company man quads and hope for the downfall of the Leafs.
Yeah, I'm... Again, I picked Leafs in seven, so I want to see that go through, especially because whatever team makes it out of this first round, I think they're getting whacked by Florida anyway. Like, this series was designed to be a mid-off, right? A couple of teams that are just fine. They're good, but they're not built for a deep cup run.
This is interesting. We're getting people saying, I want to see Marchand cry again. It's either, do you want to see Brad Marchand cry, or do you want to see, like, all of the Sportsnet and TSN hosts cry? You have to pick. Okay. Yeah, this is a good one from Sapporo. I like this. If your core four doesn't include a goaltender, you'll never win. I've liked what I've seen from Joseph Woll, but yeah.
Not necessarily.
I've been saying for, no, I disagree. I know we've seen it recently. I know we've seen it recently, but those guys came alive at the right time. It can happen, but you have to have some sort of plan with the goaltending.
It's happened more than you'd think, man. It's like Aiden Hill. Of course, the Avs won with Kemper with an eye injury with a 9-2 save percentage. Matt Murray, remember the year that he came out of nowhere? Jordan Binnington coming out of nowhere as an AHL call-up. Like, it's ideal to have an elite goaltender like the Canucks do with a Thatcher Demko, or the Rangers do with an Igor Shesterkin. It's ideal, but you don't need a goaltender as part of your core four or whatever to win a cup. There are multiple different routes to go to build a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah. Especially more recently, in more recent years, we've seen less reliance on the goaltenders. Like, early 2010s, like, obviously Tim Thomas is one of them, but, like, Braden Holtby, Grady even threw some in the chat here, but early 2010s, that was the era of the goaltenders being the guys that you needed. But you're right. Especially in recent years, it has taken a bit of a different route. And like you said, many ways to build a cup contender. All I know is that whatever the Leafs are doing is not the right way. So anyways, anything else that we needed to get to? I feel like I had something else that I wanted to throw out there. No, I think that's it. Got the TransLink bus thing. Got the Jack Adams in. Harm, do you have anything else you want to get to? Do we have anything from the chat that was interesting? People asking how we like our steaks. I like my medium rare.
I rarely eat steak. Like, I've probably had a steak like a couple times in my life.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So literally, I heard people, I think I got a medium rare just because everybody else was saying medium rare.
Yeah, that's fine. That's correct. But why? Why steak only like twice? What's going on?
I'm just a huge chicken fan. Like,
really?
Massive chicken fan.
Massive any type chicken, of chicken fan. Big chicken guy, Harmon Dial.
Dude, chicken sandwiches, that's my brand, dude.
Have you ever had, like, a nice steak sandwich, though?
No.
Yeah, man. I'm saying is I think you're missing out.
But I don't know. The couple times that I've gone to a steakhouse or whatever, it's been good. It's tasted nice, but I've always thought a fancy chicken meal would top this.
Really?
Personally, for me, yeah.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Because, and I talked about this before, also, before I get to what I was about to say about the steakhouse, Faber and I played NHL again last night. Someone tweeted at us saying that we dusted. Well, they didn't use that word, but they said good game after Faber and I dusted them. But shout out to that person who tweeted at us after we beat them in NHL. People, if you see Faber and I beating you in NHL, let us know. Tweet it. You'll get a shout out on the show for us dusting you in NHL. But yeah, we're just mowing people down in NHL. But what I was going to say is that Faber and I recently went to Elisa Steakhouse, and Al Murdoch, the Canucks PA announcer, told us that the chicken was really good. He's like, the chicken's really good. Chicken's really good. So we ordered the chicken. It was great. It was good. But man, that steak was phenomenal. And I think both Chris and I liked the steak more than we liked the chicken. So it's interesting you say that, because if we ever go to Elisa Harm, you're gonna order the chicken, and I'll have to get you some. I'm gonna have to get you a steak as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Also, Grady's pointing up whether the Kings fan base are kind of arguing whether they should buy out Dubois. And I know we kind of touched on this yesterday. The funny thing is, and I didn't realize, because my initial thought upon hearing that was maybe give it another year, see if he bounces back, and then you see if you can retain some salary and move him. What I didn't realize is that he has a no move clause that kicks in July 1st. And knowing the prima donna that Dubois is, that means you basically have such a tight window to figure out either like a deal for him or a buyout. And because of his age, he is subject to the 1/3 rule, where he's only owed 1/3 of the salary remaining on his contract. So it's a more favorable buyout than it typically would be for a player that's, let's say, age 27 or older. So actually, a buyout doesn't sound like the worst idea.
Do it. Why would you run the risk with this player? Why would you? This, to me, Harm, this disappointing performance we've seen from him is him trying his absolute hardest. Like, I would not take a risk with this player at any point. I think he's an absolute fraud. I've said it so many times. I don't want to keep hammering on it, but I, like, if I had to pick a least favorite player to watch and like give any sort of attention to, even though I talk about him a lot in the league, it's him. I think he's the most overrated player I've seen probably in my life watching hockey.
Yeah, I'm looking at the buyout math right now. You'd be on the hook for a dead cap charge until 2038. So we'd be pushing, we'd be close to our 40s by the time his contract or his buyout would actually come off the books. But in the beginning, yeah, like you'd save nearly $7 million in years one and two. The highest his cap hit would get to in some of these middle years, close to 2030, would be $3.8 million per year. So it still sucks. Like, I'm not going to lie, the buyout still isn't great because there's so much term left and it's such a big money contract. But I don't know, man. I don't know. This is going to be a tough one.
I'm trying to figure out who the most overrated player in the league is. Like, in my mind, it's Pierre-Luc Dubois, number one. And then I've always said Trevor Zegras as well is a close second. When there was that talk of the Canucks trading, or it wasn't really the Canucks trading, it was that the Ducks were open to moving Zegras, Canucks fans being like, we should get Trevor Zegras. And I crapped all over that, because that is, again, that's the close second for me. And I Googled it. The Athletic actually, Harm, the poll of 101 anonymous NHL players voted Trevor Zegras as the most overrated player in the league. I'm trying to see if Pierre-Luc Dubois was a close second, but as far as I can tell, he was not. So maybe, I mean, Trevor Zegras, again, three months ago, voted the most overrated.
I think with Zegras, the pendulum has gone too far in the other direction. I'd actually argue he's a little underrated now, because Everybody seems to hate on him and say, oh, he's all style, no substance. Like, I watched a lot of the Ducks play this year, and his two-way game has improved a lot. He's playing responsible hockey. I never saw him like cheating for offense. His two-way metrics improved quite a bit this year. I know he was hampered by injuries. I know offensively it was a really challenging season for him, but that's the whole point, is like, he's at a low point right now. A lot of people are down on him. I think he is 100% going to bounce back, and sure, that narrative is going to follow him for a long time around, oh, he's such a flashy highlight reel player, but does he actually help you win? I don't know, man. Watching him play closely, I still think he's a really, really damn good player, and I think he's still scratching the surface of his potential.
Interesting. I would try to make a trade with you This is interesting. I'm looking at the poll because the Athletic put out the actual poll results. I like this. So Trevor Zegras got 13% of the vote. Darnell Nurse got 8. Matthew Tkachuk got 7. Jason Robertson got 7. Jonathan Huberdeau got 6. Ovechkin got 5. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got 4. And so did Pierre-Luc Dubois. They have the same level. Nugent-Hopkins, Dubois, and Patrick Laine, and Erik Karlsson all tying with 3.96% of the vote. So, hey, he's on the radar. Like, people know he's overrated. The word's getting out there, Harm. Word's getting out that he's overrated.
Yeah, man. I'm really interested to see what the Kings do this offseason outside of just Dubois. They've got a lot of pending UFAs, too. They got to decide, are they going to not rebuild, but are they going to take a year or two to reset before building for actually being a team that can win a Stanley Cup? Because right now they're in that mushy middle where they're going to make the playoffs every year, but they're not good enough to actually do anything once they're there.
And dude, with the buyout kind of urgency that you have to have, they better figure it out quick. They better figure out if they're going to keep Rob Blake in as GM. Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They got to figure this out soon. Like, this isn't like a kick it down the road, see how the playoffs go for everybody else. We'll figure it out. Like, they need to come together and figure this out soon. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Okay. Any final thoughts that you wanted to get to before we close out our Friday episode with our Bet365 bet of the day?
Nope.
Okay, perfect. And let's get to it. Let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day, brought to you by, you guessed it, Bet365, a proud partner of Canucks Conversation. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Be sure to use code VANBONUS when you sign up for an account. Okay, today we're keeping it simple. Canucks plus 105 on the money line. Underdogs, Harm, on the money line. Vancouver Canucks to take the win tonight. I like it. I'm hammering it. Plus 105 over at Bet365. Must be 90 plus play. If you just play, please play responsibly. All right. We'll close it out there. 70 minutes away from puck drop, folks. We hope you enjoy the game, and we'll be back on Monday to break it all down for you. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to an episode of Team Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.